Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, worship team. And before we start the sermon, guys, I got a couple of things I want to share. First is just to say thank you to you guys watching online and to you guys in the room. There's something going on in Germany that a bunch of people are excited about. You know, I don't know. So you guys all chose to be here. And like, no judgment for anybody who's not here, but I'm thankful that you guys are in the room this morning. And I was actually really excited for this group of folks. I didn't know exactly who would be in the room, but I knew people that choose to come today, like, it's kind of a second effort sort of day. Like, you've made a choice to be here in a little bit of a unique way or to be watching online. And we're starting a series. We've been in John for a very long time. And we're going to pick John back up in January. But I really felt a conviction to do something different in November for us. And at the very beginning of December, we're going to have a service that's a little different than we normally do it. And we'll talk to you more as we get closer to it. But December 3rd, we're going to be talking about the vision for Maywood in this upcoming year. We're going to be talking about a lot of new stuff with discipleship. I feel like God's been showing me some new things about how Maywood can get stronger. And also convicting me about some stuff we need to change. And today, we're going to take a step towards that. We're going to be talking about this series called The Cure. And you'll notice maybe in this little fancy graphic that there's two little symbols up there. One of them is Maywood's little logo. It's real small. You probably can barely see it. But the middle one with the little corners in it is actually a different church's logo. I'm buddies with Craig, the pastor at Church of the Four Corners, and we're doing this series together. So like the other end of Independence, a very different church from us, they're looking at the same screen at the moment, right? And we're talking about some of the similar passages in Matthew 6 this month. But for us here at Maywood, I felt like we need to do something we haven't, just something different this month. So we're going to keep doing that, and it's going to be building towards that December 3rd of how's Maywood going to be growing and changing in this coming year? How are we going to get better at doing what the Great Commission says, at obeying what Jesus has commanded us and helping other people to have that new life in Jesus? So we're headed that direction. But I want to pray before we get into the sermon today. If you guys will bow your heads with me. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Jesus, we want you to be here with us. The passage of scripture we're going to read, people, they walked up a mountain to listen to you. And we've all chosen to come because we have this hope that you will teach us. We pray that you would do that, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So for this first slide here, I want to talk a little bit about condition of some of us are in right now. So a lot of people in the room, even the people that are having a pretty good week, I bet you struggle with, you're probably still stressed out about some stuff, frustrated about some things where you feel like you've got too much to do. That's probably like the people that are having the easier weeks. I've talked to some people that are having pretty terrible weeks this morning, right? But a lot of people run around independent, stressed out, or frustrated when they're around a bunch of people, or they feel like there's always too much to do, right? So they get up to stop signs and they kind of just roll through them, right? Like they don't really stop. That's like a real minor symptom of it. But there's also all these maybe bigger things of the way we talk to each other, the way we have a hard time listening to each other, right? And if you feel like these sorts of attitudes come up quite a bit for you, I've got a question for you that I think might be deeper, a little harder to face, is this next one. This is maybe what's deeper beneath the surface, is this next slide here. Am I enough? If you can help me out, Daniel, here. Maybe, or Nick, maybe not. There we go. Are you enough? Am I enough? Because a lot of times we're running around trying to accomplish a whole lot, because deep inside of us there's some sort of doubt about are we enough as a person. And that's pretty uncomfortable to really think that thought out, so we cover it up with being really busy or trying to achieve a lot or consume a lot. But if we ever have to really sit still and stop doing all these things and slow down, we wrestle with that issue, right? And some of you that are going through really hard weeks, you're going through a really hard week because somebody else has caused you to really have to face that question, like, am I enough? Because somebody else has hurt you or somebody else has disappointed you. And you realize, like, you can't lean on that person the way you thought you could. And now you're having to face this question, like, are you enough? And facing that question, are you enough? It can seem like this really big thing. And some of you are in the room, you're like, I don't think I'm really struggling with that. Well, today, to give you a little preview of the sermon, where are we headed? We're going to give you a little test right off the beginning. I think we're going to have a hard time passing. But then Jesus is going to give us a real tangible action step. You know, it works if you work it type of a thing, right? It's going to be very practical. If you will stick with me through that, I'm going to share something really close to my heart that I think is going to take us to a deeper level of, like, the why should we obey? If you're ready to obey Jesus just because he's Jesus, honestly, like, you probably don't need a lot of sermons. Like, just go out and obey Jesus, you know? But we're here today, we're gonna try to push a little further. Like, let's obey him, right? So, are you enough? Here's our test, because we're headed towards, we're going to do a little test. We're going to get some practical step from Jesus. But then I'm going to really drive it home, if you guys will stick with me, right? For, like, why? What's the payoff? So here's our test. This next little white slide here, it's called, I'm calling it the sneaky brag. If you've done something kind for somebody else this week, my guess is, yeah, Brian's ready to tell the whole church. It's not very sneaky with Brian, but some of us, like, sneakily, like, get it in, right? We, like, suddenly mention, like, sorry, I'm late, but I really had to help this homeless guy, and I bought him new socks and, you know, blah, 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 or whatever. And we just, like, sneak it in there how we're such a good person that we helped this other person. Man, I mean, I do the same sort of stuff. I knew the sermon was coming. I was working on it this week. And on Wednesday, I couldn't help myself but tell my wife something I did done. And then, like, allude to it in front of my whole small group. And I was just like, oh, man, like, there I am, like, right in the middle of it with everybody, you know? So the only way I can preach this and not be a hypocrite is to say, like, I struggle too, right? So, like, there it is. Most of us don't even notice that we do this stuff. We just feel great that we helped somebody. And we don't even notice that we told 75 people about the $3 thing that we gave to the homeless person, you know? Why do we do that? And here's the thing, you might think, like, oh yeah, but it's not a big deal. But try to stop yourself. Like, that's where you're gonna fail the test. Try to do something really kind for somebody in need, not like somebody you had to help, like, not necessarily, like, not your family member or something, but, like, total stranger in a big problem, and you really help. You fix the flat tire, and you're late to work. Like, show up late for work and not say, like, oh, I helped a single mom and her 5 elementary kids, like, get to school on time. Just show up late to work and be like, sorry, boss, won't happen again. We don't do that, right? We can't resist not bragging ourselves. Why is that? When we help other people, we want that pat on the back from the people around us. And our inside condition, I mean, I know it because I struggle from it, is there's that fear. Like, am I really enough? Does everybody else around me love me? Does everyone else around me, like, see a good side of me? And since we're not totally sure of ourselves, we try to prop ourselves up with our words. And if you don't think you do this, like, I'm telling you, just help the homeless person on your way home and try to keep it a secret. Like, it'll be rough. And then you'll see, like, why is that so hard? The sneaky brag. Well, a lot of us came in and we were stressed and we had too much to do and we didn't feel too good about ourselves. The solution involves some effort in a direction we probably weren't expecting, right? If I had just come in here and been like, oh man, I can tell you guys how to, like, sleep less and just write out a plan and, like, accomplish more, make everyone in your life love you, right? We'd all be up for it, right? But this sort of stuff, like taking contrary action so that our inside condition is different, doesn't sell as well, right? It takes real trust. But the best thing is, like, it's not Jake Taylor's ideas. We're gonna read Jesus' own words to his followers, and he's given them some advice. Here's how you should do things, right? So we're gonna do something different. I have for a long time been not putting the verses on the screen because I've been trying to get you guys to, like, open up your Bibles, like, let's read it together. We're gonna try something new today. We're always trying to get better at Maywood. We're far from perfect, but we're trying to improve. So today, we're gonna let you guys off easy with it. Verses are gonna be on the screen, but if you got a Bible, I'd love for you to open it up. But we're gonna be in Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 1. But here's what I need, whether you got a Bible or not, if you're physically able, would you please stand up for me? We're gonna stand up and read this passage together. And why are we standing? God made us a physical body and a soul, like, connected together, right? And there's something about just standing up, giving attention, like, the Bible's worth it, right? So when we open the Bible, we have a chance to hear from Jesus. And that's what we're really after when we open the Bible. So as we're all standing, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. Jesus, please come teach me. Please come teach us. We're listening. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Verse 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Okay, you guys can be seated. And we didn't go through the slides, maybe? I don't know. I wasn't looking. Sorry. We didn't go through it. Sorry for that. I promised you guys verses on screen, and we're always working it, right? We're trying. So hopefully you guys were able to listen through that. Jesus tells us be careful not to do stuff to just show off. Now, Jesus doesn't say, if you show off, I'm going to be so mad at you, I'm going to throw a lightning bolt at you or something, right? He doesn't say that. He just says, if you're doing it to show off, like, then have fun showing off. Like, just, that's what you get. Like, I'm not impressed. I'm not condemning you, but I'm not involved, right? But then Jesus tells us, when you give to the needy, he just assumes, like, if we're followers of Jesus, we're gonna have a heart where we wanna help somebody else out in need, right? I know a lot of you guys at Maywood, like, we have a hard time being close to somebody else who really has a need and not wanting to help a little bit, right? Like, we have a natural tendency to want to help if somebody's close to us. But if we help somebody and then go brag to everybody else about it, it's not blessed like it can be. And what Jesus is getting at in Matthew 6 is there's this opportunity to have a special connection with God the Father. A special blessing with God the Father. And it has to do with what we do with the stuff that we have, right? All of us have money, even if you don't have much. All of us have stuff, even if you don't have much. This is your first week in the Good Foundation, and Miss Donna showed up with a bag of groceries. Like, well, then you got a bag of groceries. Like, I'd be like, you got something that's more than you used to have, right? Everybody in this room could share with somebody else in independence. Like, there is somebody else that is hungry and you got some food. There's somebody else that has some sort of need and you could help out with it, right? So when Jesus is talking to his disciples, today's lesson isn't like a don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, right? Sometimes we really get into those messages about all the stuff we're not supposed to do. Jesus here is telling you how to get close to God. Some of us have been in so much pain because of our past mistakes, we're now just living in the moment trying to not make mistakes. Have you guys ever had a dad or a coach really get on to you for messing up something in a sport, and then you just try to not do the wrong thing? You're terrible at that sport when in your brain, all you're thinking about is like, don't fumble, don't fumble, don't fumble, or whatever, right? It's not the way you'd be a good running back or whatever else, right? You have to have something you're trying to accomplish, not just trying to not make mistakes, right? And here, in this part, Jesus is saying, God's given each one of us some stuff on this earth. And we can actually use that stuff to, one, help somebody else out in need, which is great all by itself. But here he's saying, to take it further, to have a special connection with God the Father. And the secret sauce for how you make it a connection with God and not just bragging to your spouse or bragging to your boss or bragging to somebody else is you just keep it a secret. It's just contrary action. Nothing changes is nothing changes. Like I've heard Eric Ossie and a bunch of people say that a bunch, right? But if this week, if you'll make it a goal, say every day, I'm going to try to find somebody in need. I'm going to say like, Jesus, show me somebody who has a need. And I'm going to try to meet their need, and then I'm going to try to not tell anybody about it. If you just simply obey what Jesus said here, Jesus says, like, your Father in heaven is going to see you, and he's going to reward you. So let me talk a little bit about secrets, and then we'll get to the story that I promised you. So most of the time when we hear the word secret, we think of something like dirty, right? We think of secrets, we think of, like, maybe spies and government stuff, but most of the time people are probably thinking about like adultery or some other horrible, terrible thing, right? And secrets like that, that are covering up something evil, they're about manipulating somebody else. They're rooted in some sort of fear, like, oh, if these other people knew this thing, I'd get hurt in some way. Or they're rooted in pride, right? Like, even though these other people wouldn't give me what I think I deserve if they knew all this stuff. So I'm going to keep it a secret, right? So in the world, when we're living in the world, there's a lot of stuff that gets dirty and grimy because it's all messed up with sin. But in Ephesians, it talks about Jesus bringing the fullness to everything. And a healthy secret actually does exist. We don't normally think about secrets as healthy things, because normally they're about pride or fear. But what Jesus is describing here is a secret between a child and a father that's healthy. It's not a secret about keeping other people in the dark so you can take advantage of them. It's a secret about something being precious because it's only shared between two people. Normal secrets, they destroy relationships, right? Like, we've all heard the stories, right, about some terrible husband who kept this affair a secret for a long time, but then it comes to light, right, and it blows up or whatever, right? What Jesus is describing here is a whole different type of secret. It's a life-giving secret. It's a secret that bonds together. So if you're here today, and when I said, Jesus said, when you give to the needy, do it in secret, if that was enough for you, Like I said, you're good. You don't need the rest of the sermon. But for some of us, like, we've heard this passage before, but we still struggle with seeking approval from other people, right? So I want to tell you a story about these kind of positive secrets. Because what God is after, what God the Father is after with us, is a lot more than what we're after with him. Like, when Kyle was first getting to know Jesus, Kyle wanted help with some major crises in his life, right? But Kyle had no idea the goodness that God wanted for Kyle's life, right? The way he wanted to bless him, and most of all, bless him with a relationship with God. Like, Kyle was after, like, getting over some major crises, right? But God had something incredible in store. So I want to tell you, this is a picture of me and my dad when I was, like, maybe 5 years old, if we can skip to the end there. So that's little me, and that's my dad with the mustache. I'm five-ish or so. This is shortly before kindergarten, but I want to tell you about something my dad and I used to do when I was in kindergarten. So I'm the youngest of three. So growing up, there wasn't like a ton of time where it was just me and one of my parents. Normally it was me and my siblings. And my dad worked nights. He was running printing presses downtown for McGrew, this little company. But when I was in kindergarten, this was back in the day when kindergartners only had to go half a day, right? So I would go half a day, I would go in the afternoon of kindergarten. So I'd have the whole morning off. My dad would get done with work, and it would just be me and my dad in the morning. My mom was working a job, my siblings were in school, so just me and dad. So there was this donut shop, Winchell's, which they've all gone out of business in Missouri. I've looked them up. There's no more Winchell's in Missouri. You can get them like in California or something. But my dad and I would go up to this Winchell's. I don't even know how often we did this, but it seemed like a bunch of times. And we would sit at, they had this little bar at the donut shop, and it was spinny chairs, which is always where I wanted to sit, right? And we would just sit and eat donuts together, right? And there was, my siblings didn't get to go. My mom wasn't there. It was just the two of us, right? And it wasn't exactly a secret. I mean, I'm sure we probably didn't talk with my siblings about it a lot because it probably would have made them mad. But it wasn't like a secret, like totally confidential. Nobody knows this is happening. But what it was time, just me and my dad. And I know not everybody gets to have a good relationship with their dad, but I want to tell you something that like that showed me is that like there's something about a kid and their dad getting to share something that's not between anybody else. Like we couldn't quite have that same moment that we had at the donut shop if my mom was there too, even though I love my mom, right? Or if my brother or my sister was there, it would have been different. There's something special about the relationship between a parent and a kid when it's just one-on-one. It's not the whole deal, but it does matter. When I was an adult and I had a couple weeks between jobs and I was like 20, I asked my dad if he would go on a couple week trip just camping, just the two of us. Most like 20-year-olds like don't, like, oh, I got a couple weeks to myself. Like, what do I want to do? Most of them aren't saying like, Dad, let's go hang out. But my dad had spent all these special one-on-one times with me when I was growing up. It was good. Like, I wanted more of it. Jesus, in today's passage, is like offering that sort of thing with God the Father and you. Like, when you give a bag of trail mix to the homeless guy that's down by Blue Ridge, you know, all that stuff down there, the Chipotle and all that, and you don't tell anybody else about it, it's just this little secret between the two of you. Like God's smiling at you and you don't need anyone else to smile at you. Like you just get his smile. And over, if you keep having these little head nods between you and God where you know that God loves you and you don't need anybody else's love for that moment, it starts to spill over into the other parts of your day. Suddenly now you can come to a stop at the stop side because you don't have to get to the next place so fast to do 17 things. Right? You don't have to be so worried about fixing everything and everybody around you because you know that you're loved by your Father in heaven. So I know like money is a petty thing. We're gonna be talking about money this month and like different ways that we can give ourselves to Jesus through the stuff that we have. But I wanted to start us off with kind of the donut shop moment of like God is opening the door to you saying like, I want us to have some stuff that no one else knows about. I want us to have some secrets that are healthy. Secrets that if they came to light, it would reflect well on you, right? Some of us have had those secrets. Like if you've been following Jesus, sometimes suddenly someone finds out something about you and they respect you about it because they found it out. Like God will lead you into those sorts of secrets. Like the secrets that you have become things that if they ever come to light, people trust you more. People love you more, right? Like this is a Torah of people God wants to make us into. But the real payoff isn't the trust or the love of other people. It's our Heavenly Father sees what's done in secret and it's just between the two of us. The best things we have involve connections with God, connections with Jesus. There's nothing you can do with your money or your extra food or your extra clothes that you're gonna value as much as some sort of special moment with Jesus, special moment with God, your Father. So here's one more quick thing. A lot of you guys know about my dad. Some of you guys don't. My dad, I've been thinking about my dad a bunch because he's got stage 4 cancer. We just found out about this last month, and he's super bad prognosis, right? And I've been spending a bunch of time with my dad, and it's been really good time. But something I was thinking about this week is like, and not in like a sad way, but like the donut shop moments I had when I was 5 or 6, there was about 9 months where that could happen. And then that particular type of connection couldn't happen again, right? The camping trip I had when I was like 21 or something, 24, I don't know how old I was. We couldn't go do that today if we wanted to. Like I asked my dad a couple weeks ago, like, do you wanna go to a national park? Do you wanna go anywhere? He's like, nah, I feel too sick when I'm in a car for too long right now. Like, I don't wanna do anything like that. I'm not saying that like, oh, this feels super bad. What I'm saying about that is like, we change as we go through life, and the connection, like the special connections we can have right now, they're gonna be different down the road. And it's not to say there won't be more chances, but some of us, we take God for granted. We assume, Brian, thank you for being honest, we assume, oh, we'll always have more time with God the Father. There's nothing special about, you know, the first Sunday in November with God, right? Or there's nothing special about, I'm 38 right now, about the year 38 with God or something. We don't say it, but we live that way, right? The person you are right now and your schedule right now and the people around you right now and your health right now, whether it's good or bad, whatever you're experiencing, power or suffering, it's a unique time for you. And so the chance for you and your relationship with God to grow, there's something special about this season that's good. It's not like if me and my dad, if I had gone to kindergarten all day long, it's not like me and my dad wouldn't have a good relationship, but I probably wouldn't like love Winchell's Donuts the way that I do, right? Like there wouldn't be, some of that would be different, right? And like I treasure what I got in that season. And for you right now, like God the Father saying like, here's this open door, like give something away and don't tell anybody about it. And we'll have a special connection this week. And like you won't get this week again. And you're not gonna look back on this week and think like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have spent quality time connecting with God the Father, right? You're all gonna value that, right? So there's not this, the amazing thing about God and money is like, it's not powered by guilt, right? It's powered by opportunity. Like God treats us like a good father, right? He's opening up things to us. When he gives us something, he wants us to do something good with it because that's what's best, right? And when we give away to somebody else because we love them, that's an excellent reason to give away, right? But when we don't tell anyone about it, it protects our heart and it gives us a special chance to fall more in love with God the Father. And so you're here right now and like Edmund's got to decide what is he going to do to be generous? And it's probably going to be different than what Stephanie does. But if I could give you one last like coaching tip before I pray a blessing over you guys, there's not rules once we're in this zone. Like if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of Jesus lives inside of you. And so when you see somebody in need, you don't have to have this huge checklist that involves a bunch of guilt. Ask yourself, like what would put a smile on Jesus's face? If the guy is talking to you about how the feds are after him and he's all twitchy and you're like, I don't want to give this guy money because he's going to buy meth. Like, then don't give him money. Then ask Jesus, like, Jesus, what could I do that would put a smile on your face, right? And be creative. Like, it's an opportunity for you and God to have a secret moment together where you do something good to put a smile on God's face. If you guys will bow your heads, I want to pray a blessing over you guys. I read this morning from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, that God's ways may be known on the earth and God's salvation among all nations. Amen.